Jesus came to give you life, more abundant and free. And boy, he reveals that the Father loves you, because here's the thing. If God didn't love you, he would have just let you suffer in your sinful state. See, Jesus came and he gave his life and he qualified you to receive what he deserved. He took what you deserve and qualified you to receive what he deserved. And that is really good news this morning.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
Why did Jesus come to earth? Why? We say the obvious. He came to die. He came to die. And think about that. In so doing, in so giving his life on the cross for our sins, he took what we deserved. But in so doing, he qualified us to receive what he deserved. Let that soak in for just a minute. He took what we deserve, and in so doing, qualified us to receive what he deserved. That's profound. That's powerful. But you know, if you look all through the Gospels, we could say many reasons why Jesus came to earth. But the truth of the matter is, at least I feel like the truth of the matter is, they're all sub-points to why Jesus truly came. And I think the biggest purpose of his coming was to reveal the Father to us. To reveal God the Father to us so that we would have a clear picture of who God is and the precious Heavenly Father that we serve and the precious Heavenly Father who loves us so dearly. You have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, the love of God, was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I think about John. If indeed this is the John, and I truly believe it is, the John, the apostle who is writing, and he's very advanced in years, and he walked with Jesus, and he talked with Jesus, and he learned from Jesus, and how he's writing to encourage the church concerning Jesus. And he says some wonderful things about the Father, about God here. He says, love is of God. That, to me, that suggests that love originates with the Father. But then he goes on to give it more clarity and more meaning. He says, God is love. And to me, that says that the very essence of who God is, his character and his nature, is love. It's love. So love originates with God, but at the very heart of God's character is love. And then John says, in this, the love of God was manifest toward us, toward you and toward me. How? Verse 9, the B part of the verse tells us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. If we think about the thought of Jesus coming to reveal the Father, What does that say about God and his love towards us, his love towards humanity? A couple of thoughts I want to share with you this morning. First, I believe Jesus reveals just that, that the Father is love, that God loves you. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus prays this beautiful prayer, not just for the apostles, but also for us. And this is what Jesus says in John 17, starting at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. That's you and me. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and they might be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. And you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and those have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus reveals that God is love. And boy, I want you to get that. I want that to be a rhema, living word in you this morning. God loves you. That he would move heaven and earth to get to you, because he loves you, and he cares about you, and he's passionate about you, and he's crazy about you. Understand that. I think a lot of people have dysfunction, but they think, how in the world could God love me? God doesn't know what I've done. Yes, God knows what you've done. And listen, whatever you've done, it's in the past. Jesus came to give you life, more abundant and free. And boy, he reveals that the Father loves you. Because here's the thing. If God didn't love you, he would have just let you suffer in your sinful state. But see, Jesus came and he gave his life, and he qualified you to receive what he deserved. He took what you deserve and qualified you to receive what he deserved. And that is really good news this morning. Jesus also reveals that the Father gives life. In our main text, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, John says this: in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, let's look at Jesus' words in John, the Gospel, chapter 3. We know this. Jesus' words to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, starting at verse 16. You could probably say 16 with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God's not condemning you. He loves you, and he wants to give you life. And if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I pray today is that glad day of salvation, because God wants to give you life, life more abundant and free, not just in eternity, not just a home in heaven, but the best quality of life that you can know even here on earth. I'm not saying that you won't have pains and heartaches and that things that just seem negative will come into your life. But here's the thing. When you have Jesus and when he's in your life and operating through you, those things are so much more bearable than without him. Understand that. So God loves you and God wants to give you life. One third thing I want to share with you, and it's this. Jesus reveals that God's wrath toward your sin, if you are in Christ Jesus, that's the qualifier, that God's wrath toward sin is not on you. Again, if you are in Christ Jesus, that's what qualifies that statement. I see so many people and they live their life as if God is angry at them, if God is up in heaven just waiting for them to make a mistake, and he's going to pull out that heavenly fly swatter and smack them. But understand this. What Jesus did on the cross for you is beautiful, because what he did, the wrath that would have been on our sin, Jesus deferred it and absorbed it. He took what we deserved, and in so doing, qualified us to receive what he deserves. All right? So God loves you. He's passionate and crazy about you. God wants to give you life more abundant and free. And God, if you're in Christ Jesus, his wrath upon your sin is not on you. Jesus absorbed and diverted that wrath away. Now, some important life application that I want you to receive from this morning. If you're not secure in who you are in Christ Jesus, and if you're not secure in your relationship with God, if you really do think that God can love others but he can't love you because of whatever is in your past, if you think God can give others life but he probably just can't do that for you, or if you feel like God is just waiting for you to miss the mark so he can pull out that celestial fly swat and whack you. Understand, Jesus has done for you what you couldn't do for yourself. All right? Understand that. Say it with me. God loves me. God loves me. Do you believe that, really? God loves me. God wants to give me life. Say it with me. God wants to give me life. Yes. And in Jesus Christ, the wrath on my sin was diverted and absorbed by Christ Jesus. Now, it's so important that we understand that and that we're secure in that. Because just like Jesus came to reveal the Father, Jesus gave us a great commission to do what? To reveal him to a world that so desperately needs him. And see, we can't effectively minister for Christ if we're not secure in our relationship with Christ and secure in our relationship with God and really understand how much God loves us. When that becomes a living word inside of us, boy, there comes not an arrogance, but a confidence in God. A confidence in God that we know that we know. And boy, we're ready to take on the world for Christ Jesus. John, the last verse of our main text in 1 John, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love," you think he would say, "love God." And I think that's just implied there. What does he say? He says, "love one another." He starts with the idea of loving one another, and he ends this paragraph with the idea of loving one another. But here's what I truly believe. That we can't truly love one another if we're not first confident in God's love for us. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus' life. Sinners loved Jesus. They were attracted to Jesus. It was the religious people that hated Jesus, but the sinners loved Jesus. And see, that's why we have to be so secure in God's love for us, so that we live in such a way that we're not only mirroring that love, but that we're also mirroring Christ Jesus.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.